think back. But here we are in our new
help me out.
I'm
my first.
You got it.
Yeah.
Stay in as long as I want to stay in. You pay my price. If you're a shareholder, however, then shareholder agreement is by self-provision. I will have appropriate draft one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have language in it to deal with these events. It deals with the things that just went through.
If you say what they like, you know,
these different things, and you don't have a formula for the value of the business, you have provision for the growth of how it's paid out. It may not have to be paid out over or all at once. It could be over time. It could be a promissory note. It could be basically a plan that's done to put together some insurance in place for the day of death so that my wife and the kids in the state to pay for my ownership in the business. In the event we don't have that plan in place regarding the business, then it puts the blood of life and creates real problems for the owners of the business, surviving owners of the business, or the heirs of the one who passed away. So, if it's a deal, now, I would say if it's just a family like mom and pop, it's not as important. Because normally the will is going to take care of that.
Right.
From that death. If mom passes away, she ends up in business, so it's all going to go to pop anyway. But when you start engaging in the business with non-family members, primarily with the family members that you share with you anyway.
Sure.
But when you were engaging in the business with co-ownership, business with non-family members, then it is absolutely vital to have a shareholder agreement together, and it's important to do it at the beginning. Because it's too late to do it once you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to do it once you're getting moving, once we're getting started, once you're moving. And if you haven't done that at the beginning, that's okay. Just that's the best
part of the beginning.
Right. Let's say that you moved along to the business a little bit. We've got three owners. Everything is fine. Everybody's had any issues. That's a good time to do it, too. You'll see our shareholders agreement is not, it's not punitive for anybody. It's not beneficial to just one party at the time it's executed. It's equal across the board. But they don't know. They don't know these different things. So if I text the person who is normally referred to as a withdrawing member, that might be somebody who dies, or whatever, protects the withdrawing member, and it also protects the remaining members, the shareholders as well. So really important to have that in place as well. It's a very mutual thing that helps everyone equally. But it's too late. There's
an issue that's been triggered.
You can't say, well, we've got a problem now with the value of shares here. We're sitting here agreeing about how we're going to do it. No, at that point in time, in any case, there's either Joe doesn't want to get out and try to drive the coattails, or there's potential litigation with regard to that investment value of the business.
And what you just described was kind of like that with the bylaws or the bylaws for the organization. Or if you're forcing them, here's the rules of the game. Now go out and play the game, but execute them to the rules of the game. That's how you're going to play. That's going to change the whole world all the way through.
So some of these details might would be things like, okay, well, you own 50% of the corporation, or you own a third of the corporation. What is that value? What is that value? These agreements that Weston and I are talking about this morning can simply set the value. There's nothing better than a set value signed up by all the shareholders at a given moment in time. That is the value. If there is a set value, then let's create a method, a formula to determine the value. How is that determined? For instance, if one shareholder has an appraiser, and the other shareholder has an appraiser, and you take an average of the two. There are many different formulas that you always know, but the important thing is that there be a formula, and that it be agreed to. What are the terms of the payment? I mean, goodness gracious, is a, let's say, the wife of the deceased shareholder, her husband dies, he owns shares in the corporation. You know, she might need some cash flow because her husband is no longer on the salary from the corporation because of the fact that he's no longer living and no longer working. Okay. The corporation certainly would take care of the deceased and his family for a period of time, you know, a few months, 6 months maybe. But after a while, if there's no work done, the bottom line is the corporation needs to come to terms with the heirs of the deceased shareholder. So is the payment being made all in cash, or is there, can there be a note, a promissory note, set up at a particular at a reasonable interest rate to pay the deceased shareholder their fair share of the corporation or LLC over time? These, of course, are what one would call, like as you both know, and our listeners know, these are the terms. Okay. Not only do we need to have a method, a price, or a set price, we need to have the terms. We also need to define some of these things, like disability. What does that really mean, disability? What does a withdrawing member or a member who retires again, what does that mean? You know, sometimes the devil is in the details and the devil is in the definition of these words. So a good shareholder's agreement is going to define some of these words that could be interpreted in different ways. And it's going to set forth these details that we're talking about right now.
Sounds like the when you talk about shareholder agreements and definitions, the tighter the definition, the better the agreement as you move forward in this process. And it sounds like when you create those loopholes that probably have to you guys trying to get involved in trying to really tighten up that agreement or make it understand a little what was meant when they first established the shareholder agreement.
Right. Later, one of the guys, there's no, you have to go to the second tier.
that, Mark. I'd like to go back a second because we get so many questions in the area of, you know, what is this corporation? I mean, people get confused in terms of, you know, traditional corporation, limited liability company. What are the differences? And just real quickly, there are certainly differences, but what Wilson and I talked about this morning applies to both. And I want to make that real clear. Limited liability companies have members, corporations, shareholders. But guess what? There need to be member agreements.
Mm-hmm.
There need to be shareholder agreements. And many times, these agreements really don't change in their form, in the way in which they're kind of papered up. They're just simply a membership agreement between members of an LLC, or their shareholder agreement between shareholders of a corporation. So this is kind of, you know, a distinction without a difference. And I just wanted to make that real clear for our listeners today. For some of us, we keep using the word shareholder agreement a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
And really, we also have the same agreement, and we need the same agreement for those of you that are operating out there as a limited liability company.
Such as the right to refusal, so that you could find me out.
answer that question.